Today on episode number 374 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/374, we have a phenomenal Because of My Podcast story. We're going to talk about things you might consider when you're choosing your co-host. We're going to talk about, hey, you know, I was going to do a podcast, but I see somebody else is doing one on my subject. That doesn't matter. We're going to interview Sean Salisbury, who is the man behind the call-in studio tool that I was talking about as we continue to interview that technology. And of course, my favorite part, your podcasting questions answered. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, look, this is where I eliminate the learning curve of podcasting, let you know that you're never alone on your journey to podcast success. We eliminate all the jargon and we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to recording, all points in between, because everything you need to start a podcast, you can find in one place. It's right over there at schoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, we got a lot of shout outs and a lot of you in this show today. It's very, very cool. I would love to hear from you. My favorite way, of course, is in any kind of audio format. You can call in your comments. It's 888-563-3228. You can, if you're on the website, there's a button there you can click. If you have a microphone plugged in, you can do that. We're going to hear from DJ City again. He was in last week's episode. He's going to be back again this week. You can also email me if you're more of a typer. My email is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com, or you can just leave a comment out at the website. Again, that's schoolofpodcasting.com. I always do like to kind of start off with some cool news or success stories. This is from Josh from the Braver by the Day podcast. And I always talk about how the benefits of podcasting. And this is a great example of that. So, Josh, take it away.
Hey, Dave, it's Josh here from the Braver by the Day podcast and braverbytheday.com. I just wanted to say a massive thank you for all your help with the School of Podcasting and your own show, the School of Podcasting. My new show, Braver by the Day, has managed to find its way into new and noteworthy in both Australia and the USA under health and nutrition, respectively. And after a month where I had everything from a punctured lung, which put me on the rails, it's probably the sickest I've ever been, to losing an uncle, having another uncle have a minor heart attack, and generally not being able to work and feeling like rubbish, that really, really made me feel good. I know it's only a small victory and I have to keep powering on, but I just wanted to let you know that it's not just the work that you do with the School of Podcasting that helps people launch podcasts. It actually helps people feel more confident and get those small wins out of day-to-day life. So Josh from the Braver by the Day podcast, thanks again, Dave. You're a champ, and I'll see you later, mate.
Josh, thank you so much for calling that in and sharing. You know, this is going to kind of sound off topic, but it's not. I think we all just want to belong. Even people who are like anarchists. If you think about it, I played an event a couple weeks ago with my band, and here were a bunch of, for lack of a better phrase, nomads, okay? Let's not stereotype people to craziness here, but, you know, and they all looked identical. They all looked identical. Even if you think about it, if you think about atheists who don't want religion, atheism itself is almost a religion. It's amazing how we all have our own little niches and things like that, and I think we all just want to belong. And to me, that's one of the greatest things about podcasting is when I talk with Ryan K. Parker from RyanKParker.com or Jim Cullison or Robert Chaz Chute or Reverend Ken Blanchard or, you know, anybody. They're a lot like me. We have the same interests. And that's one of the coolest things about podcasting, I think, in my world, that I really, really like that. And I'm going to do something this is something I'm going to do going in the future. Josh was actually nice enough to have me on the Braver by the Day show. And if I get interviewed on your show, I'm going to play a little clip. So here is me on the Braver by the Day show. And we're talking about getting over technology hurdles with podcasting.
Just, but maybe podcasters in general, that it is more of a tech hurdle that maybe stops people more than a subject matter or a confidence thing?
It sounds really, really tough. When I first started in 2005, there wasn't anything to really kind of had to pieces, parts, things together. But I always tell people, you really do already have the skills. It just sounds very geeky. I always tell people, if you can, you know, upload a photo to Facebook or something like that, well, then you can upload a media file to, you know, your media host. If you can write a paragraph in Microsoft Word, well, then you can write a paragraph in WordPress. If you can log into your banking account, well, then you can log into the back end of WordPress. People say, well, I don't know anything about audio mixing. And I'm like, well, yes, you do. Have you ever been in the car and you're talking? Yeah. And do you then turn down the radio to where it's just loud enough to where it's not interfering with the phone? They go, yes. And I go, there you go. That's audio mixing. You do it all the time. So it's one of those things where you think you have to be a geek. You think you have to be uber technical, and you've really got the skills already. It's just a matter of applying those skills in a different area. I have more than I can think of, probably five people off the top of my head that came to me and said, you don't understand. I don't know a thing about computers. And, you know, a month and a half later, they're emailing me going, oh my God, Dave, I'm in iTunes. I'm in New and Noteworthy. I didn't think I could do that. And not only am I doing it, but oh my gosh, I've got 1,200 people downloading my last episode. So that to me is a great payday. When I have somebody who comes to me with, I don't know if I can do this, and 2 months later, they're like, wow, I can't believe this many people are listening to me.
That's awesome.
There you go. Braver by the Day, episode number 8. Josh, thank you so much. We also talked a little guitars and a couple other things. And speaking of other shows I've appeared on, I was on The Success Freaks with Morton and Charles McFall, who you've heard on this show. And here's a small clip from that show. They are... It's interesting. You take motivational speakers and you kind of add a touch of wackiness and looseness and funniness, if that's even a word, and you get the Success Freaks. So here we go.
How do you change the world? It sounds hokey. You got to have hope and you got to have belief. I think it's my second episode of the Musicians Cooler podcast. I said, I truly believe, and this is like, you know, April 2005, I said, I truly believe podcasting is going to change the world. And I believed it then. I believe it now. As much as it's been around for, I think, 9 years now. Somebody said 8, 9, whatever it is. 2004. Yep. So what is this? Yeah. So I believe we're still just getting started. I think we're just getting warmed up. Back then in 2005, I'm going, podcasting is going to change the world. And people are going, what's a podcast? And I'm like, trust me. You know, just come with me. I'm going to podcast land.
There you go. You can find that over at Success Freaks. And Charles Morton, thanks for having me come on the show. And what I want to get into today is choosing a co-host. Now, I actually do, I'm now doing Ask the Podcast Coach. And for the record, that's not on the website yet. Still working on that. Got my album art ready. That's the good news. And I do the Podcasters Roundtable as often as I can with my buddies Ray Ortega, who from the podcastersstudio.com, and Daniel J. Lewis from the audacity2podcast.com. And we're over at podcastersroundtable.com. And what's interesting about that show is we all almost agree on just about everything. But it's interesting because we do have different slants. But one of the things that can really help sometimes is if you have a different opinion. If we go back to here in the States, there were a great movie review team called Siskel and Ebert, or as I called them, the fat guy and the bald one. I always liked the bald one, who, with a little more respect, was Gene Siskel. I guess I shouldn't make fun of the dad because they're both dead at this point. And these are the guys that actually invented the phrase. I think they copyrighted two thumbs up. But they always disagreed. And so I'm going to play you a clip. This is one of my favorite podcasts. It's Mike and Izzy. Am I allowed to call her Izzy? It's a cool nickname. Isabella from Music Radio Creative, who do phenomenal audio work, by the way. Go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/MRC if you need a jingle made. But I'm going to play this clip, and then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about why this sometimes works.
What does it mean for traditional radio?
I know it
How is it going to change
But
things?
You know what? I don't think it is changing radio. It is changing listeners. Technology does not change radio. It's changing what listeners want.
No, disagree with you, because radio has to change to
keep up. Well, it doesn't have to change, and it hasn't changed for a very long time.
You're talking rubbish. I'm sorry, you're talking rubbish. If you mean radio doesn't have to change, we'd still be sitting in cabinets playing gramophones, playing records of vinyl, jingles of carts. Radio has changed and will change.
Of course it will. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is that there is still a very large amount of people who will not want to change. That's what I'm trying to say.
Of course, but technology is rapidly changing all of our lives, and I think that's the point of this episode.
Technology is changing listeners.
There you go. Now, the beautiful thing of that is this is a husband and wife team who have built-in chemistry, and they also make really phenomenal babies, by the way. I have been blessed. One Saturday, I got on Skype and was introduced to their little one, who is just absolutely adorable. And so what's great about this clip, and I was trying to find one they had earlier, and this is what I wanted to explain. I couldn't find it. I went back and listened, and it's hard when you have, you know, hours of content. You're trying to find 2 minutes in it. But they were talking about something, and Isabella was like, I'm not really sure about that. I might disagree, and Mike was rubbish, right? And they were going on, and Isabella said, maybe we should let the listeners decide. And I was like, oh, that would be interesting. And I think they did. They said, you know, leave a comment out in the show notes. And at that point, it was interesting. The podcast became interactive, and I had to ask myself, all right, who am I going to side with here, Mike or Isabella? And it really sucked me into the content. So we talked, my buddy Eric K. Johnson over at Podcast Talent Coach is always talking about making engaging content. And if you're not listening to that podcast, by the way, podcasttalentcoach.com. Talk about phenomenal content. Man, that guy's awesome. But he's always talking about engaging content. And I was engaged. I was fully engaged in that one. And the thing I like about these, number one, you can hear this is a legit. This is passion, right?
I'm sorry, you're talking rubbish. If you mean radio doesn't have to change, we'd still be sitting in cabinets playing gramophones, playing records of vinyl.
But you know what?
Right? So that's true passion. Rubbish. And so it's not. Now, there is the opposite side of this. There is the, I'm going to call it the Maury Povich, Jerry Springer. These are people in the U.S. that do talk shows that inevitably have somebody throwing a chair. You know what I mean? And they do it really horribly on sports stations here in the U.S., something like ESPN. There's one where there's this old guy named Skip Bayless who is actually, I believe his skin complexion is gray. I think he's dead. And they get him on with this. So you have old gray white dude against younger black dude, right? And this guy's like, I think you're crazy, Skip. And Skip's like, no, back in the day, the Packers were... And I swear they just argue because they think it's good content. Oh, you're crazy. No, you don't know a thing. And I think they go, okay, today, here's what you're going to argue about. I don't see any true passion. I don't believe they're really disagreeing. I think they're disagreeing because they think it'll make good TV. And between you and me, come on, we know that. We can smell that crap a mile away when it's not legit. And that's what's wrong with the media. They're trying to manufacture passion. And that just doesn't happen. That comes from you, from your heart, from your history, from your experience. So with that said, it's nice to have a difference of opinion. When I started as a joke, the Ask the Podcast Coach, it was just me playing with live stuff. And Jim Collison kept kind of contributing here and there. And one day he said, hey, if you want me to be the color commentary guy, you know, just to kind of chime in. He goes, I find live is a lot easier with more than one person. And I'm like, you know, and I listened to some of the stuff Jim had. If you're new to the show, Jim had a whole segment. He came on and interviewed him about being everywhere. And between me, you, and Jim knows this, I'm not sure I 100% agreed with that strategy. I was like, I guess if you got the time, because he's putting his podcast on everything there is to put a podcast on. And I was like, because he was like, look, you need to go where your audience is. And I agree with that aspect. I'm just not sure I would go to some of these places where I'm getting handfuls of people. And so I thought about it, and Jim was like, if you're looking for a color commentary guy, and I was like, you know what? I think this guy would be good because we are very similar. I actually really like Jim. He's a really nice guy. And I think we have similar backgrounds. I really don't know the guy that much. But I also think we are going to occasionally disagree on stuff. Not to the point where I'll be screaming rubbish, but not that Mike was screaming. You do know I'm kidding, right? Okay. And but I was like, I think this is going to be good because I don't think we're going to agree on everything. So that could be good. Now, back in the day, I used to do a podcast called Today in Podcasting with Rob Walsh, who's now the VP of Podcast Relations at Libsyn, Gary Leland, who is fastpitchsoftball.tv, I think is where you'll find everything for Gary. He's also the guy behind Podcast Pickle, which back in the day was in Time Magazine. It was one of the coolest websites. And Paul Culligan, who is an internet marketing guru guy. Well, I, at the time, had a podcast on a company called Podshow, which then later turned to Mevio, and Rob was not a fan of that company. And Rob is also a self-professed Apple fanboy, and I just can't afford an Apple. And so it was always kind of fun because I like Rob. I consider Rob a friend of mine. Always love to see him. Looking forward to see him again at New Media Expo. Great guy. We share a lot of stuff. We are both a big lover of stats. And Rob has a very, just his sense of humor is so sly, and it just makes me giggle. He does Today in iPhone. Or Today in iOS, which is a great podcast if you have an iPhone. So we occasionally would disagree, and people used to say they love that about that because it was genuine, it was real, it made for good listening. So keep that in mind if you're thinking of doing a co-host, as much as you want to start a podcast with your friend and somebody who's been your childhood friend, that might be good, and it might be because otherwise you're going to end up a podcast of, you could call it the Me Too podcast. And you could say, well, I went out and watched the movie called The Family. It was kind of funny. It was somewhat predictable. And it was Robert De Niro playing a Italian thug. And so in that way, it was kind of, yeah, been there, done that. And in general, I liked the movie. And then you go to your co-host and they go, yeah, me too. That's not exactly engaging content. So something to think about if you're looking to start a podcast and you need a co-host. That would be something to think about. If you're getting ready to launch a podcast and what stops you is you go to iTunes, you do a Google search, and you find out that there's somebody else that is doing a very similar podcast to yours. There are a number of people who do podcasts about podcasting. I mentioned Ray Ortega from Podcasters Roundtable.com and podcastersstudio.com. My buddy Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast. There's Cliff Ravenscraft, the podcast answer man. And myself, I think are the four that do them consistently. Now you can throw in people like Mike Russell from Music Radio Creative. He talks about radio and new media. There are a bunch of different types. Now, if you're in iTunes and you see a podcast that is doing a podcast on your subject, look to see if they're still producing content, because many times they're not. They've quit. And then the other thing to think of is, in the event they are still producing content, there are a couple ways to look at this. Number one, well, if there are more than one show on that topic, that means there's probably an audience for it. And then the other one, and this is what I'm going to spotlight here. I'm going to play a clip from my buddy Eric K. Johnson. You can find him at erickjohnson.com. or podcasttalentcoach.com. One of my absolutely favorite podcasts right now is Podcast Talent Coach. It's interesting. It's some of the stuff I knew, but he's been on the show. This is a guy that helps radio stations enhance their content. He's all about engaging content, and I'm going to play you a clip, but here's the interesting thing. I'm going to play you a clip from my show, which I realize if you're a regular listener, you're going to go, I've already heard this. But here's the thing. Two different guys, one topic, right? Podcasting. And in this case, two episodes completely different episodes on the same subject, and that is doing podcast interviews. So here is a little 2-minute clip from the Podcast Talent Coach podcast. And again, this is Eric K. Johnson. You can find him at erickjohnson.com or just go to podcasttalentcoach.com. He's got free worksheets. He's got all sorts of great stuff over there. And here's his clip on podcast interviews.
Also, don't stop at the first few paragraphs if you find an article about somebody. If you find an article in Forbes or Entrepreneur or something like that, or in Better Homes and Gardens about your guest, and you start skimming the article, don't just read the first couple paragraphs, because that interviewer is doing the exact same thing. They're just giving you background that everybody and their mom knows. You want to find something unique within that article and within that interview that will bring some unique perspective to your guest. That's what it's all about, being unique and different, engaging. You want to find that unique material deep within the article. You know, if there's something of interest about your guest, don't tell your guest about it. Let your guest tell you about it. If you discover something in your research, let your guest tell the story. Just set them up. Make it easy for them to relay the story to you. If you read a story in an article about something that happened to your guest, don't ask them a question that shows that you know everything about that story. Set them up so they can tell you the story. It'll make them look great. I don't know if you've ever seen that old Saturday Night Live bit where Chris Farley's interviewing Sir Paul McCartney about the love you give is the love you take. Is that really true? And all it does is leave Paul McCartney to go, yeah, that was it. Because Chris Farley gave all of the details of the story, and every question he asks, Paul McCartney can only answer with a yes or a no, because Chris Farley gives all the information. That's not what you want to do. That is so over the top that it's hilarious. Well, when you're asking your questions, make sure you're asking open-ended questions and let your guest tell you the story. Let your guest shine. Just because you know the details of the story, you don't have to reveal the fact that you do. You don't have to prove to anybody that you know the story or that you have all the details or you're all knowledgeable. It's okay. If you make your guest shine, you will look good as well. Just set up the story so your guest can tell it, and you'll both look fantastic. You'll look like a genius for asking such fantastic questions. Your guest will look amazing because they'll have the answer right at their fingertips. You know, if your listeners know anything about your guest, they're probably going to be well aware and familiar with all of the information that's in your guest's bio. But if you do your homework and you know your guest and not simply their bio, and you find those great stories and then you let your guest tell it, well, then you're going to be golden. People will love your interviews. Just get into it and find those little nuggets.
Like I said, awesome content. And here is my clip about doing podcast interviews. If you can have some sort of tool, and if you don't have a tool, then do this manually. Set it up. If you use iCloud, that's the Apple thing, you can have a calendar there. You can use your Google Calendar, and you can set up reminders and things like that. That's another way you can do it, right? You can use Google Calendar. That's free. And I believe you can invite people if they have a Google account there and have it set to set reminders. But you need to send a reminder. Not that people are forgetful or they don't value the opportunity to be interviewed by you. It's this lovely thing called life. We get busy, we get whatever, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, you know, do you remember what you were doing in April? I don't. And consequently, if you scheduled it 2 months ago, you might forget. So have some sort of reminder system set up. Now, I use a thing called Vcita, I believe is how you pronounce it. It's Vcita. They do have an affiliate program. Now, I think I'm using the $15 a month plan on theirs. And the thing I like about them is they have scheduling. This is how I have people schedule if they want to do one-on-one coaching with me. And so it has a contact form as well as built-in scheduling. So I really like it. And I have it set up to remind people a day before the interview and I believe an hour before the appointment. So when they sign up, they do that. And I, after looking at this, I do put in here, hey, it's EST. Again, I just reminded that, hey, it's Eastern Standard Time on that. And I believe, I'm not positive, but I believe the system looks at what time zone they are in when they open it up on their machine and converts it. I believe that is part of the features of that. So reminders are huge because of time zones, and it's just something you don't want to neglect. So there you go. Two guys doing, for lack of a better phrase, similar podcast. It's related to podcasting. We're doing two episodes on the same subject, podcast interviews. Now, was there some overlap? Absolutely. I'm sure we both said, don't ask yes, no questions. I was focusing on preparing for the interview and providing questions ahead of time and things like that. But I was also getting into the more technical side, tools to make the interview go smoothly. I had a thing this week. I now use, I don't use VCTA anymore. I use TimeTrade. I've been using them on and off, and I do like their service. And I had a weird thing this week where it quit syncing with my Google Calendar for whatever. It works fine now, but it did have a little minor glitch. And so I was kind of going through the tools to make scheduling the interview a little less of a hassle, along with some of the content about how to prepare and things like that. Eric was much more, again, from his background, he's done probably a heck of a lot more interviews than I have. And he was about how to prepare and to have questions and how to really, and he makes a great point in that episode. It's episode 3 of Podcast Talent Coach. You want to make your guest sound phenomenal. And what's great about that is when your guest sounds phenomenal, you get part of the credit. Isn't that awesome? And that's because you get to set them up. People talk about here in the States, if you get on, let's say, ABC News, and it's a Diane Sawyer. Diane Sawyer is somewhat famous for just giving completely softball questions. And I'm sure that Diane Sawyer knows what the answer is before she asks the question. And that's kind of the key. You work with your guest to make, again, engaging content. So I just point this out. If you're thinking of doing a podcast, you see somebody else doing one very similar to yours, they don't have your background. Eric's background is in radio and entertainment, for lack of a better phrase. My background is in teaching. And obviously now I've been doing podcasting for a while and new media and the technical side. I've been building websites for years. So we have a different background, and that then is brought into our content, and your personality is going to shine through. So please do not let the fact that maybe somebody else is doing a similar show to yours stop you from starting your podcast. All right, next up, we have an interview. I talked about callinstudio.com. It's a phone service. It's a blog talk radio killer. It's this great interface, and I used it 1 week, and I'll be using it in about 45 minutes. I'm actually recording this before I do my Ask the Podcast show, which is live every Saturday, by the way, Eastern Standard Time, 11 o'clock. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/live. And then I'm going to be doing my group coaching. If you want to get involved in the next group coaching class, it does start in November, by the way, November 2nd. And we're going to skip a week in there for Thanksgiving. Even if you're not in the U.S., we're going to skip that because I'm going to be eating that weekend. And so it'll get you done right before the holiday season really kicks into gear. So if you're interested in that, go over to howtopodcast.com. It's basically me and about probably 10 of us going through every six weeks, every Saturday, 2 hours, and I walk you through the whole process. So it's a little more personalized, a little quicker, maybe, depending on how you look at it, than the School of Podcasting. The School of Podcasting has a step-by-step approach. And if you got nothing to do on a weekend, you could blow through everything I have on the School of Podcasting in a weekend. The great thing is it is self-paced, and you have all those tutorials. So some people like to take that and just go at their own pace. So that's there as well. But I was talking about Call-In Studio. I'll be adding this out to the resources of the School of Podcasting, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/links. schoolofpodcasting.com/links take you everything you need whether it's graphics, WordPress themes, WordPress plugins, all that stuff, schoolofpodcasting.com/links. And I found this and used it 1 week. And I was like, you know, I had a couple of questions. And I always like to establish relationships with people that I'm using their products. Because once you establish that relationship, you can, in some cases, help them improve it if they're interested in that kind of thing. And Sean seems like a really super nice guy. You'll hear about some things he has planned for this service in the future. But here's my discussion with Sean Salisbury, the man behind CallInStudio.com.
So, Sean, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And why don't you, for those of us that are just meeting you for the first time, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a big movie fan, and I love entertainment, and I love podcasts, and I've done a little bit of podcasting myself. Big fan of also technology, and a big follower of Leo Laporte. I'm sure you've heard of him. Mm-hmm. And so I used to own a movie website called Box Office Mojo, and we sold that in 2008 to IMDb. And part of the process of moving out of there and looking for something new to do, I created CallIn Studio, sort of, you know, just out of combining my interest with technology and actually doing a little bit of podcasting myself. This seemed like a need that was out there that I could fulfill. So I built it.
There you go. Absolutely. I'm sitting here looking at your Skype picture. Is that a PR40 in your...
Yeah.
That's what I figured as much. Well, how long has CallIn Studio been around?
I built it in 2011, so a couple of years.
Okay. And then you say you're a podcaster. Tell us a little bit about your podcast and where we can find it.
Well, I'm not actually doing it right now.
Ah, okay.
I got sucked back into the movie website world. So I own a site called soundtrack.net that I work a lot of time on. But I also put resources into CallIn Studio, obviously, to keep that going and fresh for everybody. But I have done a couple of movie review shows. I had one called the Movie Film Show, mm-hmm. where we did movie reviews, basically. And then I had another show called The Independent Entrepreneur, where I interviewed other entrepreneurs and got their story. So that's at indiebizshow.com, and there's a lot of there's probably like a dozen or so interviews there that anybody can go and take a listen to if they're interested.
So a couple quick questions. If you can just kind of, we're just going to kind of walk through the interface when you sign up. Well, first of all, you get $10 for signing up, which is really nice. It's a way to let people kick the tires, and just kind of walk us through from there. I've got my $10 credit. What would a person do from there?
So, I'd be happy to walk you through basically what, you know, if anybody's interested in trying it out. We do offer a free $10 credit, as you mentioned, which basically allows you to purchase a phone number, a call-in phone number to use for your show. That's a number that's just for your show. So unlike Blog Talk Radio, you don't have to put in a long PIN or anything like that. And it's enough to make a few calls and play around with it and test it out. The system works on a prepaid basis, so you can deposit, you know, $25 at a time, and then any minutes that you use are just billed against that, and then it'll just rebill you when you jump below a certain threshold. So just the basics, basically, once you create an account, the first thing you need to do is buy a telephone number, and you can, on the user interface, if you click on the My Phone Numbers tab, it's pretty self-explanatory, but basically you can buy a number. You can either get a toll-free or a local number. There are numbers throughout the United States and Canada. I do hope to be adding some European countries as well in the future, but right now that's all we support. And then once you've purchased a phone number, you need to create a show for yourself in the software. So that basically, if you click on, there's a tab called My Shows. If you click on that, there's a create a new show link, and you just basically name your show and set some options for how you want it to behave. We can talk about some of those. And then in general, in terms of how it works, basically, you call in with a phone number into the CallIn Studio system with a phone number. So you do need to have to be able to connect one phone call to your whatever your setup happens to be. But that allows you to connect to the CallIn Studio and then accept, you know, you can have 5, 10, however many callers you want on hold at any given time. All the audio coming out from that one phone call is your caller audio, and then you also need to send your audio out from your show so all the callers who are on hold can hear what's going on.
I know a lot of my audience will probably connect via Skype because they'll have the unlimited calling. When I do that, because there are kind of three players in
in the whole picture of this. You've got, obviously, the host is going to call in.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a guest call in, so if you want to have them call in, and then a screener. And that was one of my questions. When I used this last week, I called in via Skype, and I also had my co-host on Skype. So we basically did a conference call with myself, my co-host, and then the call-in number.
Right.
What is the screener's purpose? Is that so somebody can call in and say, you know, what do you want to talk to Dave about?
Exactly. So it's, you know, you can imagine when you call a regular radio show, the screener picks up and says, you know, what are you calling about? What do you want to talk about? And they put in notes about the call. This the screener needs to call into call-in studio on another line, so it's another phone connection. They can be anywhere in the world, which is great. But once they connect to the phone call, they can hear what's going on the show, or if they're talking to somebody and screening a call, they're kind of in their own little conference room. And the screener has their own console. It looks very much like the host's console, but it's just for the call screener, and he can screen calls and put in notes about the calls as they come in, just like a regular radio station would.
So if I had a screener, I would basically set them up under my account as a screener, and then they would have their own login name and password?
Yeah, they would need to create an account, and then you can give them permission to screen your show, and then they would log into their account, and then once you've started the show in the software, they're able to log in, and it shows them the number they need to call and the PIN number they need to put in as a screener.
Right.
And then they'll be connected to the show and have their own interface.
Gotcha. And the other question I had when I was playing with it, when I'm looking at my control panel as the host and I can see a call has come in, it looked like there was a phone number on the screen, but it looked very similar to the number that they called in. Is that the person's actual phone number, or is that just some other, you know, what am I looking at there? Because I was kind of having a hard time figuring out who was who.
Yeah, it shows the calls, the console basically as the host. You see a list of callers, of people who called in, and you see their phone number.
Okay.
If you have a screener, obviously it helps because the screener can pick up those calls and screen the calls and put in notes about the call. And then as the host, you'll see those notes. And and the calls are basically grouped by calls that are on the air, live on the air with the host, and then calls that have been screened that have – you know, from the screener, and then just calls that are waiting to be screened. If you don't have to have a screener, you know, you can just pick up calls blindly,
right.
and use it that way. And the phone number that you asked about is the phone number of the person who's calling.
Calling. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, everybody, you can find this at callinstudio.com. And Sean, anything come right now? It seems to work fine. But anything you have planned in the future for it?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're always taking requests for new features and whatnot. So if there's you know, any requests out there, people really interested in having it work a certain way or whatnot, we certainly love to hear about that. I do hope in the future to be able to, instead of connecting with a phone line, to be able to do it just over a VoIP connection. That might make, like if you're broadcasting with Spreaker, that might make things a little bit more difficult. But also, it would reduce a lot of the cost because basically you're paying for every minute of a phone line connection that you're making to call-in studio. And so if I'm able to have the host connected with a VoIP connection, I can eliminate that cost and pass that saving on to the customer. So that's something that we're in development on, and I hope to, you know, launch in the future.
Yeah, that was the only thing I thought. If you had a lot of callers online and you're in and you've got a guest calling in, all of a sudden you're paying, you know, 3 cents a minute for everybody. I was like, that could get not expensive, but it could add up.
Yeah, and I actually have on the site, if you go to click on the pricing, there's a sort of a breakdown in terms of showing you what it might cost you per hour of show that you're producing.
I see that.
So to give people a rough idea, like if you have five callers at any one time and a host and a screener and what the theoretical maximum is per hour for the show that you're doing. One of the nice things about the system is that you can say, I only want to accept maybe two callers at a time. So if you are cost conscious, if you set it to two, for example, when that third caller calls in, they'll just get a busy signal. And you can set, and also, if you think about it, your show can really only handle so many callers at any given time,
right,
to move them through the system. So, you know, if you have a screener or something like that, usually 5 or 10 people on hold is more than enough to keep a good flow of callers if you have a really heavy and popular call-in show. So you can kind of make sure that you're capping your your costs in that regard. One of the other nice features that I like about this that you don't get from, say, you know, if you get a really fancy Telos system or something like that, if you're familiar with the broadcast side of things, is that when you have a full board of callers and that, say, that sixth person calls in and you only have five lines assigned, the console will show you that you just threw a busy signal. And so you can kind of track, you know, how popular things are going on your show. If you're on a hot topic, everybody's trying to call in, you'll see that busy signal count, you know, increase rapidly. And that's kind of a fun thing to happen.
That is cool. And that way, you know, the next time you start up a show, okay, I should probably open up a couple more lines.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. Now, if you're in the middle of a call, is there any way to adjust that? Once you start the call, you're kind of whatever settings you have.
There are some settings that you can adjust on the fly, so you can change the theoretical maximum number of callers if you want to. So that is a possibility.
Very cool. Excellent. All right. Well, I thank you for answering my questions. Like I said, I used it last week and thought it was awesome. I think I just clicked on the wrong button one time and it kind of sent it down the tubes, but we'll chalk that one up to operator error. And now I understand completely what to do. And want to thank you in advance for, like I said, I love the service so far. And as someone who hates Blog Talk Radio, I've been hoping somebody would do this, and I'm glad you stepped up to the plate.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And I know a lot of people, we get a lot of customers from Blog Talk who have the same exact complaint that you're saying. I hear that all the time about the audio quality. I don't know why they just don't fix that, because it seems like that would be a win for everybody. But for whatever reason, we're here to help out in that respect. So, and we have customers who come from there who are doing their own internet thing. And we even have customers who are doing shows on XM radio who, you know, their shows have been sort of, the budget for their shows have gone down, and they're all broadcasting from home, basically, and this was the only way they were able to take calls. So we have a wide range of customers and setups, and that's the nice thing about this, is that it can really plug into any setup that you might need.
Very cool. Well, everybody, check it out at callinstudio.com. Sean, thanks again for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Good luck.
All right, there you go. Callinstudio.com. And if you're new to the show, I do like to do this thing called investigating. I had somebody pay me. I'm going to take this as a compliment. They said, Dave, you're like the Consumer Reports of podcasting, because I always go out and test things. And so I am going to go back and try 1 week using Blog Talk Radio's interface without using their audio quality. See if I can tap it into my show like I did with Call In Studio. So you'll be hearing about that in the future. But if you wanted to hear what it sounds like from somebody who calls into the show, well, number one, you can call in on Saturday mornings. Go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/live. But my buddy Ryan Parker, you can find him at ryankparker.com, was nice enough to call in one Saturday. Because I said, hey, we need somebody just to call in, and he answered the call very cool. And so what I have is just a little clip of what it sounds like from a listener's point of view. And what's cool about this is I could actually go in right now. You have the radio voice guy who says this thing. I could actually record an MP3 and put it there, so when people call in, they hear me saying, hey, thanks for calling Ask the Podcast Coach. So here is Ryan's side, basically a listener's point of view. So you'll hear, you know, Ryan get the prompt here from the little radio voice, which again, I am going to change to an MP3. And then you'll hear me ask Jim a question. I kind of faded out, no offense to Jim, because I wanted to then hear, so you can hear what it sounds like when Ryan comes in, because you'll get a little beep. So here we go.
Thank you for calling Ask the Podcast Coach. You may listen to the show while waiting. A beeping noise will indicate when you are on the air with the host.
Will have its own player, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, the thing I love about this is, Jim, you are a big fan of being everywhere.
Yeah, for sure.
And so when I first heard this, I was really worried. I thought they were going to, you know, block downloads and things like that. But what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's surprising. I did, as you were talking, I did go back and I checked, because I have three Spreaker. So I have one account with three podcasts in there, and two I've
seen. And here's what it sounds like when you go on the air.
Oh, we have some excitement. We have a caller.
Oh, rock on.
On the line. So I'm going to, here we are, caller ending in 41 is the end of your phone number. I'm going to click on talk, and in theory, you are now on the air. Caller, are you there?
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
That would be Jim.
Ryan, is that you? That did sound like me, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, this is Ryan Parker. How are you doing?
It is. Oh, there's Ryan.
Yeah, wow, cool.
There you go. So it works.
Yeah, it does work. I can hear you on my end through the headset, and I can so I listen to the show while I'm waiting for you to pick up.
There you go. So that's what it sounds like from a listener point of view. Now, you'll notice that didn't sound very good. The show, that's because Ryan is basically listening over a phone line while he's listening. The actual live show, if you go to schoolpodcasting.com/live, is put out at CD quality. But Ryan was listening over the phone. So there you go. That's both perspectives on that. And Ryan, thank you so much for helping us there. You can find Ryan over at ryankparker.com. Next up, my favorite part of the show, and that is where you get involved. You become the star. And he's back, DJ City, with a little comment here about mixers. Take it away, Mr. City.
Hi, Dave. This is DJ City from the Japan Experience Podcast. I just want to tell you about the MG-102C. I am going to probably unbox it tomorrow after I get off of work. And I'm hoping that this mixer is going to support what we need, because we do need a noise gate. What's been happening is my voice can be heard on my friend's mic and his voice can be heard on my mic. So we're hoping that this sound gate's going to correct that problem. You know, so I want to say thank you very much for letting me know about this mixer. I mean, this is what I've been looking for. Something with a noise gate compressor that I can actually isolate the noise that's been coming in. So, yeah. Thanks very much, Dave. I picked it up. I didn't buy it from your affiliate, but I am resetting up my website. So when I get the Libsyn set up, yeah, SOP free. That's what I'm going to use. Anyways, thanks again, Dave. Bye.
Thank you, sir. Now, I wanted to address this here because such a nice guy, and wanted to clarify something. In that show, I talked about how the Yamaha MG-102C mixer has a built-in compressor, and it has what are called insert jacks. And so what this is, it allows you to take additional hardware and plug it into your mixer. So right now, I have the compressor on the mixer working, and that's just on the first two channels. And then I'm plugging in externally a noise gate. So here, let me bypass this. This is, and I'm using the DBX-286A. I think it's been replaced by the DBX-286S. You can find that by going to schoolofpodcasting.com/Amazon. And so here I'm going to turn off that and you'll hear what I sound like. Yeah, see, I lose some of my boominess, some of my clarity, but also let me turn on my fan. Here we go. You probably can't hear that. Maybe you can. It's going to be quiet. But if I turn back on my noise gate, it will turn off. It'll cut out that fan noise. So here we go. And it's off. So, except you can still hear it in the background when I talk. So just so you know, if I gave that impression that the Yamaha MG-102C has a noise gate, I apologize. It has a compressor, and a compressor is not a noise gate. A compressor is something that makes things that are quiet louder and things that are loud quieter, so you get a more universal volume level. And also, as much as I love my Yamaha MG-102C, I also like the Seismic Audio mixers. You can find them by going to schoolofpodcasting.com/seismic. That's S-E-I-S-M-I-C. Or if you just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/Amazon, you'll see that as well. These do not have the built-in compressor, but they do have the insert function on every single channel. And they're a little cheaper. You can actually get the Seismic Audio Slider 4 for $66, where the Yamaha MG-102C is $99, and if I were to spend $99 on a Seismic Audio mixer, I would get a 7-channel, where this one is basically 4. So thank you so much for sending that in. I deeply appreciate it. Next up, we have a question from Ken Kessler. Ken is in the process of planning his podcast. He asks here, listening to your segment on phone connections and wondered if you've ever tried using a free Google phone number and getting messages that way. I have, and to make a long story short, I'm not sure. Now, I don't think Google is the devil, but I know from what I understand, if you sign up new to Google Alerts right now, you're not going to be able to get Google Alerts via RSS feed. I need to verify that again. I need to investigate that because I can still get my Google Alerts. Now, Google Alert, in case you're wondering, they're great for content management. You can say, I'm looking for this subject, and Google will basically email you however you want, daily, whenever it happens, weekly, and say, here's all the instances of that on the internet that we found. So if you're looking for topics for your podcast, they're great. They used to be able, you could do that, take those results and put them in your RSS reader. So you wouldn't have to go and read your email. You wouldn't have to worry about spam and things like that. And from what I understand, what I've read on a couple different blog posts, so I haven't verified this myself, if you sign up today and you're new to Google Reader, you cannot get RSS feeds of your results. You have to get them via email. And of course, that's so that they can put advertising in it. Google is about making money, and I do not begrudge them that, but I don't understand how they make any money with Google Voice. And in the same way, I definitely don't like FeedBurner anymore. And the reason for that, I had somebody this week that was playing with a feed, and basically it worked going into FeedBurner. It didn't work coming out of it. And members of the School of Podcasting, you will see a new video very soon about how I moved the School of Podcasting from FeedBurner to, in this case, PowerPress, which is inside my WordPress installation. So basically, I moved it from FeedBurner to go directly to my website. It took all of 48 hours, and it was super easy. And I just don't like FeedBurner anymore. And everybody goes, oh, Google will never kill it. If it doesn't make money, Google will absolutely whack it. You don't believe me? Check this out. Google Reader, iGoogle, Google Labs, Google Wave, Google Video, Google Desktop, Google Code Search, Google Buzz, Picasa for Linux, Google Gears, Google Notebook, Google Aardvark, Google Health, Picnic, P-I-C-N-I-K, Google Listen, Google Bookmarks List, Google Lively, Google Docs Gadgets, Google Search Timeline, Places Directory App for Android, Picasa Web Albums, Uploader for Mac, Google Mini, Google Apps for Teams, Google Talk Chatback, Google Side Wiki, Jaku, Knoll, Google Flu Vaccine Finder, Google OnePass, Google AdSense for Feeds, Google Video for Business, Google Pack, Google Friend Connect, iGoogle Social Features, Google Classic Plus, Google Fast Flip, Google Related, Google News Badges, Google Post Any Services, Google Glass? We shall see on that one. But those are all, except for the last one, have been done away with. This is courtesy of Slate.com. So do I think Google will kill things that don't make the money? Yeah, I do. So what I would do is, you could use my affiliate link, podcastvoicemail.com. That takes you to a system called Call 8. It's $2 a month. $2. Now, if somebody calls in, it's like 6 cents a minute. I've never had a bill more than $4. And now with SpeakPipe, I get most of my audio from them. But if you must do free, Skype obviously is the best way to record things if you're going to be doing phone calls, things like that. If you're looking for voicemail, there is still K7.net. Now, this has been around forever. You can go over and sign up for their service, but here's the bad news. You have to get a voicemail every 30 days or you lose your phone number. So picture this. You're on episode number 17 and you're giving out your number. It's 888-563-3228, right? And then you forget to call yourself, as did your audience. And guess what? You've now got 13 episodes of you giving out your phone number 888-563-3228. And guess what? That's not your phone number anymore. So this is where I go, you know, I understand we're all on tight budgets and things like that. But if nobody calls my toll-free number, 888-563-3228, yeah, you know what it cost me? $2. That's a bottle of Mountain Dew. And I don't need that Mountain Dew. I'm trying to lose weight. So great question. I highly urge everyone, if you're trying to do podcasting for free, don't, because it takes a certain dedication. It takes a super dedication of time. And I'm not sure why, because my hobbies are music. I love to ride my bike. I like photography. Back in the day, I used to do a lot of bowling, and I never got to do any of those for free. It was free to ride my bike, but I had to buy my bike. And I understand, you know, times are tough. And if you can't, you know, that's why I love the Audio-Technica ATR2100 microphone. It's about $35 as I record this. It's $35. You can actually start a podcast with that. But that means you're going to be, you're going to need a website. You're going to need a media host and things like that. And I usually tell people, you usually end up putting around $20, somewhere between $20 and $30 a month to do a podcast. And for me, if I was still bowling, I was putting that out easy a week just to rent shoes and a ball and get a Coke and whatever and bowl. So thank you so much, Ken. And that is my take on using Google Voice. I do have a Google Voice number, and the messages aren't that great. They're about as good as Call 8. All the systems that record voicemails for you, they really strip down the audio to almost as bad, almost, not quite, almost as bad as Blog Talk Radio, which is below, it's like half AM radio quality. So Ken, thank you so much for sending that in. I deeply appreciate it. And when you're ready to start your podcast, Ken, come and see me. And I've got news for this. If you, I always talk about the quick start package if you're new to this. And the quick start package is for somebody who's ready to podcast. They've got a name ready. Maybe you bought your domain name. If you're looking for a domain, go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/domain check. And you can see if a domain is available. And if the domain is available that matches your podcast name, buy it right then. Do not. And by that, I mean, don't wait. Buy it right then, because if you go back 6 weeks later, somebody may have bought it. But check this out. I got a coupon, yet another coupon. And I almost shudder to give another coupon, because I see every week where people type in coupons to join the School of Podcasting that don't exist. If you want to join the School of Podcasting, right, the self-paced tutorials, that coupon is LISTENER, LISTENER. LISTENER. And for the record, if you have to spell your coupon, you've probably picked a wrong one. Just saying, if I could do that one again, I probably would. If you don't have a website yet, you can now just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/hosting. All right, that'll take you over to my preferred provider, HostGator. And if you use the coupon code for HostGator, Podcast Coach, that will save you, you ready for this, 25%. Now, the thing I like about HostGator is, unlike Bluehost and other ones, which are fine establishments, by the way, you could buy a single month. I had somebody just sign up. They signed up for 6 months because they're like, you know, I'm dipping my toe in the podcast pool. Don't want to make a heavy duty commitment. And I can always sign up for a year later where it's cheaper. But if you want to do a month, you can. Now, if you're going to use the coupon, you might want to think about signing up for a year, so you get more of a discount, but that's up between you and me. Again, schoolofpodcasting.com/hosting. Use the coupon code PODCASTCOACH, all one word, at HostGator. Not School of Podcasting, at HostGator when you're doing that. DJ City mentioned, if you go to Libsyn, LIBSYN.com, you can use the coupon code SOPFREE at Libsyn to get a free month off of that. So that's new. And what's great is then you can, once you order your hosting, send me an email with Quick Start, and all you have to do is forward over your welcome email, and I will be able to see your domain name in my dashboard, because I'm going to earn a little commission when you use that coupon code. And I'll be able to see that, yes, you did buy through me. I'm going to give you a month at the School of Podcasting so you can watch all the great videos on how to build your website. And I'm going to go over and actually set it up. I'm going to set up your WordPress, some plugins for podcasting. So I've been using the analogy. It's like giving you a house that has no paint on the walls and no furniture. I mean, you have to go in and supply the content and figure out how you want it to look, but I'm going to give you an empty house for you to fill. You don't have to build it at all. So that is new. Also, I mentioned this earlier. I do have the group coaching going on. So there's the School of Podcasting, self-paced tutorials, and group coaching starts November 2nd. You want to sign up sooner than later on that. There are limited seatings for that. And if you need one-on-one personalized consulting, that's the fastest way to get going. You can go over to schoolofpodcasting.com as well and schedule a coaching session today. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Some things coming in the future include understanding that whole website area. I'm going to talk about that. I get that question a lot. So I'm working on some ways of explaining that that'll, again, eliminate the jargon, make it easy to understand, and so that we can move forward together on getting your website going. So that's coming in the future. I am going to go over and test Blog Talk Radio again to compare it to Call-In Studio now that I'm using it. And so I'll be giving you those results as well. And of course, I'll be answering your questions. Anything you'd like to talk about, let me know. Here's how you can contact me. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com. There's a contact button there. There's also a microphone button there. You can click on that and leave a message. You can call in your comments. It's toll free, 888-563-3228. That's again through podcastvoicemail.com. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. I do reply to every single email that comes in. So if you want to go that route, I would be happy to hear from you. And realize, if you don't want me to talk about it on this program, you need to put in the email, don't talk about this on the program. So, and I will see you Saturdays at 11 o'clock, schoolofpodcasting.com/live. If you'd like to talk to me live for free, that's a way to do that. You can also hear bunches of tips at schoolofpodcasting.fm. I'm running out of breath here saying all these ways to contact me. I'm also on Twitter at Learn2Podcast. So thank you so much for tuning in. Let me remind you that it is time, really, to start living a life worth podcasting about. I'm here to help you to eliminate the jargon, let you know that you are never alone in your quest to launch a successful podcast. So thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you again next week with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'll see you on the inside. And until then, class is dismissed.